And welcome to the Planning and Committee, Planning and Community Development Committee for Monday, February 6th, 2023. I am joined by Councilmember Deshaun Quinn, Councilmember Thomas Cloud, and staff, and a guest.
So sorry.
And this is, we have technology, as you can hear it, going on at the same time. So the first item of business is a resolution approving the South King County and Homeless Partners capital fund allocation. And we have with us Claire Goodwin, Executive Manager. Yep.
May I make a few opening remarks?
Yes, please.
What we're asking you is a resolution that would authorize the allocation of $29,804.43 from what the city has already contributed to the SCIP Housing Capital Fund. And those allocations would go to two specific projects in the city of Burien, which are outlined on page 2. And Claire Goodwin is here, and she is new with the organization. Less than a month we were talking about. And so I'm going to open up a PowerPoint that she has prepared, and I will turn it over to Claire. Thank you.
Thank you, Laurel. And good evening, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Claire Goodwin. It's my first time presenting to you, so thank you for the opportunity. I am the newly appointed Executive Manager for the South King Housing and Homelessness Partners, or SCIP for short. So I'm excited to be here today to present to you the SCIP Executive Board recommendations on SCIP's Housing Capital Fund. And if we could go to the next slide.
Sorry, that shows it online.
So SCIP was formed in 2019 through an interlocal agreement between several cities and King County to address housing issues and needs of South King County as a unified coordinated coalition, and Tukwila was a founding member. So SCIP currently has 11 member jurisdictions, which are listed on the slide. And Tukwila is represented by Councilmember Delos Trinos Johnson, and Councilmember Quinn serves as alternate as well on the board, I should specify. So by way of background on SCIP's Housing Capital Fund, in 2019, Substitute House Bill 1406 became law, allowing cities and counties to recapture a portion of Washington State sales tax when it's used to support affordable housing initiatives. And you may recall that the effective sales tax rate didn't change for the consumer, and instead the tax gets credited against the state sales tax. In 2021, City Council authorized an interlocal agreement with SCIP, which allowed the pooling of sales tax receipts received under Substitute House Bill 1406 from each participating member jurisdiction for use by SCIP in funding affordable housing projects. So this is the first of an annual project with SCIP and member jurisdictions to fund projects with these pooled resources through the SCIP Housing Capital Fund. And use of these pooled funds requires approval from each participating city council. Even though you have already contributed these funds to SCIP, your council will need to take action for us to use those funds. So this approach allows multiple cities to pool their funds for projects across South King County to maximize the creation of affordable housing overall and in each city. So next slide, please. So SCIP opened its first Housing Capital Fund application in 2022, and three projects applied for SCIP funding, and they all happened to be projects in Burien. So the SCIP Advisory Board reviewed the applications and forwarded its funding recommendations to the SCIP Executive Board that reflected the policies and priorities adopted by the board. After careful deliberation, the SCIP Executive Board concurred with the recommendations of the SCIP Advisory Board and has recommended total funding of $1,300,000 $393,308 for two projects, as described in the SCIP Executive Board Funding Recommendation Memo dated December 16, 2022, which was included in your packet. And we'll go to the next slide. So the projects under consideration and the SCIP Executive Board's recommended funding levels for each project are listed on this slide, and I'm going to briefly go through each one. So first we have a Habitat for Humanity home ownership project in Burien. So phase one of this project includes the construction of 23 bedroom townhouses for households earning up to 50% of the area median income or AMI. So the requested funding from SCIP is $300,000, and the same amount was recommended by the board. This is the total for that project from SCIP. The special conditions include this being a secured grant with no repayment as long as affordability and target population are maintained, and the covenant is recorded to ensure affordability for at least 50 years. So second is a project from Mercy Housing Northwest. It's an 89-unit multifamily mixed income affordable rental housing development. The project proposals to provide a mix of 1, 2, and 3 bedroom apartments for households with mixed incomes from 0 to 30%, 30 to 50%, and up to 60% of AMI, and anticipated set-asides at 20% for households with a disability and a 40% set-aside for households experiencing homelessness. So the requested funding from SCIP is $1,093,308, and the same amount was recommended by the board. Special conditions include being a deferred contingent forgivable loan, and the covenant is recorded to ensure affordability for at least 50 years. EcoThrive also submitted an application for homeownership for a homeownership project, which includes new construction of 26 houses for households earning 30 to 50% AMI. The requested funding from SCIP was $700,000 to $1 million, and the board did not recommend funding at this time. Both the advisory board and executive board are enthusiastic about this project, but the element of readiness to use the funds and complement other fund sources inform this recommendation, and the project sponsors have been encouraged to reapply this year. Next slide, please. So this slide shows total amounts contributed by jurisdiction to the SCIP Housing Capital Fund, and of this total, the amounts amounts by jurisdiction for each project. You'll also see the unallocated amount by jurisdiction to be used in future funding years, and that's the far right column. So we are seeking authorization from City Council to allocate the two amounts listed for both of these projects under your city in alignment with the Executive Board's recommendation. This is $6,417.34 for the Habitat for Humanity project, and $23,387.09 for the Mercy Housing Project. And last slide, please. So in conclusion, we're looking for your support today to move this forward to the February 13th special consent agenda or to the Committee of the Whole to authorize the allocation of $29,804.43 from the city's contribution to the SCIP's Housing Capital Fund to finance the two affordable housing projects we talked about today per our interlocal agreement requirements. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
This is for Laura. I just wanted to wonder if the city attorney kind of looked at the terms in that.
The city attorney has not looked at the terms, but I can bring her into the loop prior to the next meeting.
Great. I don't have any questions. Very straightforward. And, you know, I also think the kind of the amount that we're providing makes sense to me. I've served on CRC and seeing other entities do something similar. This is in alignment with that. So I'm very comfortable. And also the applicants for these projects, you know, it's being able to stand up a project that we can all benefit from. And so very happy and appreciative of Burien and anyone else that would come forward. So very comfortable with here.
Thank you.
No questions other than the one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Councilmember McLeod.
The forgivable loan, how does that work? Set that up as a loan and then immediately forgive it?
So I did a little research on this one myself, and my understanding is it means that the borrower doesn't pay anything year to year, and if they meet the conditions that we've laid out, it can be forgiven, meaning they would never have to pay it.
And one other question I had, this is on page 13 of our packet, or 9 of 11 of this handout. It was attached on one of the forward funding sources.
Mm-hmm.
How did they get $30,976 for Pepwilla off call of the capital fund? And we've only used X amount, leaving $1,171 unallocated. This is the formula they use for all the cities based on population.
So the total contribution from Tukwila being the $30,976. So that's the contribution. And I think, I don't know if someone might be able to speak to the 10% commitment of the 1406 funds, which is a slightly different way that other cities have done that. But my understanding is Tukwila wanted to use a large portion to fund rental assistance programs. And so that 10% then was a contribution to SCIP.
This is the 10%? Okay. Okay. No, I'm in favor of this. I was on SCIP for a couple of years. So a little bit of tracking here, and these are good projects. Thank you.
It's exciting to see some things coming forward. So the question that I have is about the money, and this is just a curiosity question. So we've got a certain amount here. Is that the amount that has accrued over the last few years, or is that just this year's allocation?
The 30,970.
No, the total. Sorry. Yeah, I got to get back to that page. Yeah, the funding requests, we have how much we're giving them, but is that just from this year's funding, or is that accrued over the couple of years?
She's talking about that amount.
Yeah, but
the total.
So we're giving a certain amount, a million, let's say, to Mercy Housing, okay. Million in some change. So are these amounts just from 2023, or are they accrued from other years too?
So those amounts are the dollar amounts that we are asking for authorization to spend. That's currently in the SCIP Housing Capital Fund, and we're asking for authorization to access those funds to support both of those projects. So the columns differentiate the projects. So
I understand.
Okay.
That, you know, so yeah, I get that part of it. My question that I'm not asking well is the fact that our SCIP will have $54,769 left in this capital fund.
Correct.
So next year, was this accrued over a period of years to get this much money in it? That's my question.
I'm understanding now. Thank you. Sorry for that. So my understanding is this was from 2022.
Just 1 year.
Yeah, so every year we anticipate having, I think it's about $1.5 million.
Okay, so that's it. Yeah, so this might just be up to 1.5 again next year.
Yeah.
That's really what I was getting at. Okay, that was just an information. Thank you. Yeah.
May I make a comment? It's in the memo, but I just want to draw your attention to the 90-10% split of House Bill 1406 funds. The City Council, when you made that decision, you asked to revisit it, and especially post-COVID, not that we are post-COVID, but it's time to revisit. So staff is going to bring forward options for your consideration this year. If you have specific questions about that now, Ms. Bianchi is on the line, but just know that's going to be coming to this committee at some point, sooner than later.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's time, and I would say that as we start seeing projects come forward, we might want to rethink this in our contribution of our regional pieces. And I really love that these are home ownership, so it's like a win-win. So I actually look forward to that conversation around revisiting it, and I'm glad we said let's revisit it, because percentages, just looking at the numbers, it's a small bite, and Skip is now really trying to get their legs under them, and you know, that might help us leverage some more facilities. So
thank you.
I agree. I mean, not that you're not going to bring it anyway, or to Baptist, but I think that's good. So, yes, thank you. Are there any other comments or?
I'm okay. It's going to consent.
Okay, so I'll report out on it tonight and just say it's going to consent. And then if somebody says something, then it'll get pulled and put in. But I'll just say something about it, and then probably we'll go. And I think I might have you help me word it strategically. And pithy, have a pithy strategic way to say it, so that, you know, yeah.
Sure, and I also want to add that last week or the week before, Councilmember Delestrinas Johnson reported out on this very thing, and she did a wonderful job of describing it and saying what a great milestone it is. I don't know that she knew at the time it was going to be coming through the legislative process, but she set the groundwork.
So I'll just listen to what she said.
She did a great job. I was actually at the meeting, but we went through the allocation process, and she wasn't here for that conversation, but she definitely represented well.
The main thing that I want to communicate is the fact that we have put this money into the account to be spent, and this is merely just saying, go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
The money is there, and I just want to figure out a good way to say that. So
yes.
And I think that's all that needs to be said.
Well, give us some money away for projects like these.
Yeah, and so we need to do this formal, okay, a formalized step. That's what I'll call it, a formalized step. That would be my word.
Well, I think it's collaborative Southeast County effort to stand up kind of our needs based on, you know, our of experience, and because we have different needs than other jurisdictions, and so Skip has been a forum for representing South King County needs, and then investing in projects that meet them. You know, I think that's really, it's a good leverage, because I, you know, I have to say, when I was on JRC and watching Arch do it, it's like, we don't have anything in South King County.
Now we have has that capital,
yeah,
elementary.
Yeah.
And you do your report right after me, so if you want to add that, you said it best, yep. Right? So feel free to add on, and that would be great if you want to. So, all right. So we are done. Thank you so much. You can keep up the good work.
Congratulations.
The next one is our GMA periodic update grant acceptance. Yes, that's fancy. Oh, that's Ms. Eklund.
Thank you, Chair and Council members. This is a request to forward a grant for acceptance to return back to the Department of Commerce. Historically, the Department of Commerce provides funding to jurisdictions who are updating their plans. And this year was for $125,000. They put that into the fiscal year, so $62,500 a year. They told us in July that we were receiving the money, but they didn't get us the contract until January. So what we initially put together as the scope of work for the project is a little bit, we had to do some quick staff footwork to make it doable, and they're going to accept a lot of status reports on projects that we might have otherwise had had a consultant on board and moving forward with some of these things in a more methodical way. So that is the request. I mentioned that we will be putting an RFQ out very soon for the consultant, and just this is free money from Commerce, which has no match on the part of the city. So my request is that this be recommended to the consent agenda of a special meeting at the February 13th meeting, and this would authorize signature of the grant. So you can move forward. Mm-hmm. Is that something? Do you have any questions?
Yeah, Councilmember McLeod.
Yes.
Haven't we already accepted the 125?
We accepted, they had two grants available to us. Well, they told us we had it, and we didn't even really have to apply for it. We have accepted a grant for the middle housing project.
Oh, that one.
And that one.
Is that 125?
That was 100, and then 30,000 was for, so it's about 130,000. So the periodic, and there were different bodies of work that they expected done with the two different sums.
No, I'm in favor of this, and you guys feel you have the staff to utilize it?
Oh, we have staff. This is our staff. This is, we don't, the city had not allocated other funding. This is the funding that will enable us to get consultant assistance.
Yeah.
So this is, we definitely have the, you know, the wherewithal to identify consultants that do work with us.
Questions?
You just touched on it, right? I saw here that you had, I mean, I saw in your reviewing this of getting consultant support. And I guess I have more of a global question for you or Director Gerlo. Seems like there's kind of like a timing thing. I think throughout a process, you can have an idea how something's going to be accomplished. And then there's the implementation. And sometimes we can get into the compliance, non-compliance. Is there kind of sharing back to Commerce of we use this grant, and in order to accomplish this piece of work, you know, this was really helpful, and it would be helpful maybe in the future that this body of work be clearly spelled out to allow us to accomplish the thing. And I know they're all hypotheticals, but the goal is just the exchange back and forth with Commerce.
Yes, I would say that ever since they told the state that the money was available, I've been asking for the contract. And their explanation is they haven't had staff. And I was asking, when we saw what happened with the middle housing grant, which we were granted about the same time in the summer, it didn't come to us until mid-September. That has a one-year cycle, so it basically gave us 9 months from when we accepted it, but we still had to get a consultant. So that pushed it into January. I said, can you just like have the contract ready to go? And we sent you a scope of work and just drop it in. And that really didn't work as far as convincing, you know, that their staffing levels to produce something faster, but it really does put a bind on local governments. There's a slight disconnect in what we have to go through to make things work with the funding that they're going to offer. They have, with the middle housing grant, they have offered us assistance, which we're grateful to accept for some of the work that has to be done under that scope of work, but waiting for 6 months is really difficult. It's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And if I may, I mean, picture all of the consultants out there who, you know, all the cities are chasing with their grant funding at the same time. So we were very pleased with the consultant we were able to get on board for middle housing. I hope that we'll also get an application for this other comp plan work. Nancy did a good job of getting the word out on the street and really getting us some quality consultant applications. So fingers crossed, because we certainly can't do it all in house. It's really a challenge to get the consultant. The consultants are in the same position that the state is in, and jurisdictions are in. They just don't have the staff. And when the floodgates open and the work's put on the street, and a lot of jurisdictions got a head start on us because they had independent funding. A lot of them got snatched up. So we have our fingers crossed that we will find a competent consultant that will jump in and be able to stick with the pace that we're going to need.
So putting us on consent would let us just jump right into that RFQ, which they're on
that. The plan, if my fellow council members okay that.
Definitely, I'd love to kind of round out the statement because, so absolutely, Chair, at least some.
Welcome.
I really like some out of visual. Here's a starting line. Mm-hmm. Everybody go. And I guess another reason why I asked it is I'm sure when they got this allocation from the state legislature, there was a message on this will help cities in the process. And so when I asked the question about communicating back and forth is at some point they're going to have to explain how money was spent.
Mm-hmm.
And did it mask the intent of the legislature? And if it's about mental housing and other things that are currently going on at the legislature, if they get a greater understanding of what, not when it's in front of the legislature, but prior to when they can learn about like the complexities of jurisdictions and some of the things that we're all holding to try to manage through to meet our, you know, complex stuff. So just, and I've worked with Department of Commerce and I guess it depends on who you get, but they've expressed interest in, okay, what is the experience downstream of these funds and how do you use them? So that's all I want. Yeah, thank you. Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I'll report out on it tonight so that way, hopefully it will be non-controversial. There's no matching funds, right?
Matching funds.
Okay, I'll bring that up.
You will see another grant when they get the other contract to us because it's on a fiscal year basis. So the 62.5 is for this fiscal year 23. And at some point we'll have the funding for fiscal year 24.
Yeah, I saw that in there. So yeah, so it's 62.5 for each year.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to okay it each year.
Sorry.
Okay. So yep, those will, I will report out on them. And say they're going on consent, and hopefully it's the end of the meeting, and they're going, okay, so we'll be then.
Okay.
Awesome. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I do have a miscellaneous, and that has to do with a discussion about moving the multifamily tax exemption, which is on our work plan. It's right now, it was estimated, I think by Laura, to be quarter three, and So I don't really know when it was going to be happen because I know that our staff is really working hard on a lot of things right now. But the reason that I bring this up is because during our, when we were talking to our residents this year, housing issues were top of mind along with safety and housing. So what are the things that I think we need to do is have all our tools in the toolbox in order to reach that affordability. And another thing that also happened, which I outlined in an email to both of you, and maybe I said to Laurel to talk to you about it, so you probably heard some. They've had discussions with Laurel. Not to triangulate, but just to be for efficiency purposes, I asked them to talk about it, that this was on the work plan for last year, but we all know what last year happened last year with the budget and everything. It's pretty wild. But it's a matter of managing priorities. And what I'm hoping is that this would be a matter of just moving around things on the work plan because it is on the work. Again, it's a tool in the toolbox. Another reason I want to move it up is so that it doesn't get lost again this year, which is easy to happen when it doesn't look like it's really urgent on the front. However, it is because we need these tools. And so the discussion that I want to have with the council is whether or not we want to have a discussion about it. I don't want to throw it out there tonight and have this and have staff not have be prepared to talk about it, although you, like I said, you probably heard some stuff because I didn't. I wanted to make sure you had heard some stuff, and so and some of the reasons why that I think that it should be moved up. I've got a lot of stuff here. I don't know. It's only 6 o'clock, but I don't know that my fellow council members are prepared really to talk about it. So the thing that I'm going to throw on the table is whether tonight we are willing to put on the agenda for our next meeting, which is not for a month, a discussion about the feasibility of looking at the MFTE this year. Now, should be feasible because it's on the work plan. However, we know that a work plan is also a living document that moves around and things don't, that's not like it's set in stone. So I could talk more about the importance of this. I'm curious if either of you have comments, what your thoughts are on it. And I'll start with the council and members, and then we can have staff talk. Deshaun?
Yeah, I'm kind of jumping in. And I think I would love for it to be a topic of next meeting, because even just how you presented it right now, it's in Q3, but the goal is to not lose it in the process. And I know we talked about this back then, and there's been issues that have been solved because we haven't made that decision. So I'm comfortable with, you know, having a conversation around prioritization now. And that saying is, if everything's a priority, then nothing's a priority. So, but I think this is an important one because tools. I think we need to.
That's where I would jump into. You know, I think last budget process, we really valued putting tools in the toolbox. So could have some options going forward. I would support in a month being able to talk about this at whatever level we're prepared to talk about it. I don't know what it requires of staff. But to kind of kick it off, to maybe engage it or elevate it, I would be all for that.
And some of the things that I was thinking of that we could talk about is like the reality of how much time would it really take for staff to work on this year? Like, so what would the time commitment be? What does that look like for staff? Taking a look at what is on the 2023 work plan and seeing, and maybe just going through it again and talking about what those things are and having a discussion about it. So I have that work plan here. I'm trying to get prepared. So I have the work plan and some thoughts about that. And then the 2021 work plan and the 2020 work plan. It's been on those work plans. And of course, it's been a moving target, especially up at, because of Water Year and the things that are happening up there. So, but you know that last year I was talking about moving up the Sigali property or the Tupelo Valley South as the MFTE. And I know we had discussions about that. Thank you for your input. Sure. And so but I do believe after talking to people on GSP, and maybe I'm a little dangerous now because I'm on Greater Seattle Partners and I'm talking to economic development people, they're saying that the multifamily development is so competitive right now that they're really looking for MFT exemptions, and if they don't see it, they just move on. So now, having said that, I did say to Laurel, I do need to validate some of these things, right? I'm hearing this, it would be good to have a for example or something. So I'm not going to throw it out like, oh, this is fact, but this is what I'm hearing. And so, and I'm hearing it from the developers that are not they're GSP staff. So this is why I think that that we need to look at it. We just need to look at it. Let's see what we come together and talk together about this. See what you think. Oh, and the one other thing I'm going to say about MFTE, I looked on the Department of Commerce website and they said it is to stimulate development. It does not necessarily have to be low income. But I do know that pretty much any place, including TVS, Tupelo Valley South, they're willing to have a percentage of low income. And again, talking to economic developers, they talk about how having that combined with market rate is really the best way to fold that in. So those are some of the things that comments that I have. Yes, I'm not done monologuing.
Yeah.
Okay, now I am.
And if Brandon's got some thoughts, I'll just start off though. So first off, I want to say I very much appreciate the heads up. I appreciate you talked to Laurel. Laurel talked to us Friday afternoon. You had talked with me a week before that. So I appreciate the heads up so we can kind of get our thoughts together a little bit, which makes, I think, more productive for everybody. I mean, the thing that drives me the craziest personally is that I feel like we're making half-baked decisions because we don't have a good discussion or good thoughts. So I appreciate the heads up. So, and I appreciate your sharing your thoughts. Like one thing you mentioned, you see it on the work plan, and it is, and I don't know what, I think you're looking for the committee work plans.
Yes.
So one thing we may want to talk about too is, we brought our economic development work plan to this committee 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to send this right back down to you. But this is the same document you looked at 2 weeks ago. I've highlighted where it's on the work plan. It's asterisked as a priority.
Okay.
However, I'm really glad you mentioned it because I think one of the misunderstandings, I think that our work plan that I create that, we work on it together, but it's kind of me pushing that is it's an aggressive work plan. We put a lot more on there than we will be able to accomplish in the given year. And I think I haven't been very clear about that in the past. So just because something's on there is not a guarantee that we think we have the resources to accomplish it. And what happens is we will sometimes reprioritize as the year goes on based on opportunities. So it was like, currently, yes, the MFTE work that Brandon and I, we were the leads. We were assigned to be the leads in 2021. As you know, we did start working on 2021 with the South Center District, and Brandon was our lead for that, just to renew that so that new alliance project could get going, which it is. And then the next step was the TIB, and we were really prioritizing that because of the Wattageer project, and it was ownership and affordable. So it seemed like that hit all the marks, and that we thought that could be a little bit more of a, we thought would be simpler. So we ended up spending a lot of our time on Wattageer on the parking issue, which is where it really ground to a halt on parking. And remember, we went to council. The council wasn't comfortable with what the parking was. The community wasn't comfortable. So basically, that whole thing got put on hold.
Mm-hmm.
So we never went back to the MFTE because without the parking deal and DA, there was no time. We just reprioritized other things. So we never did, work anything on the Tukwila South. The council did direct us, hey, put Tukwila South in there between the TIB, MFTE, and the citywide MFTE. That was the council's decision direction back in late 2001. But since last year, our work on MFTE has been on hold. We haven't had time. I'm scrambling just to try to keep the economic development strategy moving forward and barely keeping up, not keeping up with that. We had to even cancel advisory committee this afternoon because I'm not ready for that meeting with other things going on. Brandon's got a lot of work going on. Right now, significant amount of his time is as the lead, be the project manager for creating a facilities plan for the city, which is a very major project, and it deserves a lot of time. Those are some very complicated financial decisions that are coming to the council. And so you can see some of the other things we are working on. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm trying to provide context for the discussion. We are very open to reprioritizing. What I ask is, please don't reprioritize without a good discussion of the choices we are making and what we would not be doing. And so as long as we can have that discussion, and I really appreciate you saying, hey, what would the staff time be? So maybe there's a way. If there's consensus on the council for a very focused MFTE for some next step that the council sees as a high priority, maybe that's a way to try to winnow the staff time down on it. What currently, even though it's on hold currently, it is on our work plan, it is a priority. So as time comes available, my hunch is when we get done with the economic development strategy is when we will come back to the PCD and say, okay,
Now we've got all this new information about what the community wants with the economic development strategy. Do you want to reprioritize things on the work plan? And so do you want to look at MFTE in context with other things that are coming up in this process? And we're happy to have that conversation. And I'm not saying that we can't come back next month and have a conversation. I'm just saying our normal process at this stage, that's probably when it would come out, would be sometime this summer is when we would be having these conversations about now you've digested the strategy, what else do we want to look differently for priorities? But we can reprioritize when there's a real opportunity. We've done that before, just like with the MFTE in the South Sierra District, when we knew that a solid developer that wanted to get going and we felt very highly confident it met the council's goals for development in that area, that's when we said, let's amend the code to make sure that happens. When we thought Forterra was going to be able to pull that project together and we knew that was a priority, then we could, you know, readjust our work and try to make things work. What we're reluctant to do is to just put a tool in the toolbox if we don't know anybody that's going to use it, because there are other opportunities that we will be passing by while we create that tool. As an example, the New Porter site, Mike West is an opportunity for the city to have a agreement to try to partner in the sale of the city's property and his property, Parm Jakara behind there. Those three properties together are 2.2 acres within a quarter mile of the light rail station. And they're willing to partner with us to coordinate the sale. We could get national attention from developers to market that site, but we need the time to pull that deal together. And Mike's willing to make some kind of a really strategic development up there. You know, he knows he could sell that property to the highest bidder today if he wanted to. A gas station or a fast food restaurant could go in on that corner. He wants a legacy for the community to be proud of, and he's willing to work with us to be fair. So I just feel like I just want the council to know these are the opportunities that we could dig into, and we just want to make a really informed decision on that. And in terms of context, so if we do talk about, is there a way that the council could wants to kind of put some focus on us on MFTE to try to keep it as simple as possible? I love that discussion, but we do need a little bit of time for that discussion with you because, for instance, there are some key policy decisions. One key policy issue is, I believe, in general, housing is a net cost for the city. If you look at our cost of providing services versus the tax revenues the city gets, in general, that is a cost to the city. And we did this study with Benton a few years ago. We never rolled it out because it was a draft form. I never had time to kind of double check everything. But we looked at property taxes, sales taxes. And it was a very rough thing, but we looked at different kinds of land uses. We looked at housing, multifamily housing, single family housing. We looked at retail, industrial, and cost of service based on police calls for service and fire calls for service. And, you know, this is a very rough study. But the reason I mention it is there's so much housing pressure to add housing around the Puget Sound region. But I really hope our city is careful that we don't go or put ourselves to a financial problem going after so much housing. I'm not saying we shouldn't go after housing in certain cases, because I think sometimes there's other benefits that come with it. So, for instance, for Terrace Project, that housing was helping us get ownership. It was helping us get affordable ownership. It was helping us revitalize TIB and get rid of a motel. So suddenly there are all these other benefits that come along with it. Now, if it's a greenfield site like Tukwila South, it's a very different question. And one of the other questions is, would the housing happen without the incentive? We felt like in the South Center District, the housing, we weren't getting it. We wanted housing in the community in the South Center District. We weren't getting it on its own. So that's why the city said, let's you know, try this to get some housing going down there. Which, by the way, one of the policy choices the council made, my recommendation, which I still believe in, but was to not make it be a permanent tax incentive. The council approved a very short window where we would only get one, maybe two applicants to come through to get one or two projects to show that the market could work. And so, which is what's happening. So yes, many of our cities around us, most of them all have NFTEs like CTAC does. And, oh, sorry, are we going too long? So anyway.
Yeah, we can have this discussion more later. I just was wondering if you had any responses to, I have a couple comments, but these are all really, really good points. So yes.
I agree. And let's have this discussion.
Yeah. I like some of the things that you're saying, the net cost to the city. That's a good point. However, on the other hand, we've got a growth management act that we are supposed to do. On the other hand, we have people that say that we need housing, and I don't know that another study is going to change that, even though you're talking about going out and having those studies. So how do we put all these pieces together? I think we may be thinking about running some things simultaneously, because what happens, we get stalled out on one area and then the other project just goes away. You know, get stalled out as well. And so, for example, we stalled out this summer on up on TIB, which means that we did never get to Tukwila Valley South. And so so those are all the types of things that we need to talk about. So how do we do this and make it work? What has there been interest down in Tukwila Valley South? I think there has. And so, and maybe that's, I'm thinking we need to talk to Tukwila Valley South and have them tell us who's been there, what's happened, and why, what's going on. So, and then they can present that as well, just as we have talked to Watergear about this type of thing. So, and of course, we do want Watergear. I'm going to figure that out. And then state legislature might figure that out for us. So we'll see what happens with that. So, okay. So that will be on the,
Could I request, rather than the committee deciding when it'll come back, are you comfortable saying you would like it to come back as soon as possible? But I think, depending on what you want, we may need to work with DCD. We may want to put together some policy considerations for you. So there might be a couple of weeks it takes to.
It's got a month. We don't meet again until the beginning of March.
Okay.
Right. And sure, next meeting might have been too much.
I can't. I'm out that week. So we'll have to discuss we'll have to discuss internally how we're going to handle that. So.
Okay.
I would also say that's a really full agenda. Nora's going to be talking about a code permit process and customer service review. You're also getting a rental housing update, economic development strategy update. So
okay.
Things to consider.
Okay.
Could we do the second meeting?
Yeah. It's just that, you know, every it seems like to me, it just gets kicked out. So
It does.
And that's a little frustrating. So
we're all frustrated.
Yes.
Everybody here is probably frustrated.
Certainly, this is a give and take. So I can't, you know, and this is really what I want it to be. Second meeting in March.
With a discussion about the parameters of what would have to come off our work plan. And
yep, also absolutely.
What would be on it. The other thing I just want to you know, when other cities talk about their MFT, like Seattle has one, but Seattle doesn't allow the market rate for their MFT. So, well, that's one of the discussions that we can also look at is which communities don't allow the market rate. They only allow it if there's an affordability component to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's I hear people in Seattle talk about it, but of course that's to get affordable housing, a minimum percentage of affordable housing units. So,
Those are all things that we need to look at and then see where the interest is in that type of thing, what we're interested in and what the developers are interested in. Is that a non-starter? Does it all have to be market rate?
Right.
Okay. That's why it'll take us a little bit of time to put that staff report together.
Yeah.
Because it's not just us, hey, we'll be here for discussion.
Uh-huh.
We need to be able to give you some information.
You know what? I don't even think you need to take any time on all market rate. Because I haven't heard from anybody from all market rate.
I think we just need to talk about context.
Yeah.
So when we understand the context.
Yeah.
That, and if it takes longer, it takes longer. But, you know, I think as chair, like having a discussion internally as staff of here are some of the considerations and then we can hash it out. But context is good, right? Because context of NFTE in 2015 is different in 2023 back then it was like, did we have the authorization in place? And then you know, this tug of war, we're all, I read up on MFTE and this is whatever it is.
Yep.
So context, I think we just work out the context and just work through it. I think that's long.
And talk to me so that we can minimize the workload. Like if you guys have questions, it's like, should we even take some time to do this? I'll give you my read on it.
Okay.
You know, I mean, you can, I can't direct staff, but we can direct policy, and that's really, I want to try to stay out of you.
If there's particular issues you want to make sure we can address, by hearing that in advance helps us, by all means.
I'm trying to stay out of the staff direction and kind of keep it policy, and then you guys have to do your.
We have a really quick miscellaneous.
Okay.
Here, go ahead.
So the last, you guys reviewed. You gave us the okay with the Seawolves contract.
Oh, yeah.
I said it needed to get a few updates. Unfortunately, I got those updates after the packet already ran out. There's some small changes. Legal has reviewed the template. It's on the consent agenda for tonight. But what's on the consent agenda is not the version that you have right here. So, one, we could pull it off the consent and put it under new business, and I could speak to it. Or if you're comfortable, we can just approve it as part of consent. Whatever you, I don't know, Laura, or if that's an option.
I did email it to the council, and I was planning to have copies because it's important to have the current contract in front of the council. But yeah, we wanted your advice on if you really want to pull it from consent, or if, I mean, these are very minor.
So usually I put the consent agenda on if there's some special verbiage that I would need in order to say as amended, consent agenda as amended. Yeah.
We could do that as an option, or whatever. I mean, you can also pull off a consent. I have to be there anyway. It's a light business, and I can just speak to it real fast in our new business.
Laurel?
I think that's probably the cleaner.
Right. Okay, pull it off, and we'll just say, is it like a Scribner's error or something like that? Or
We modified the indemnification language.
Okay.
The city attorney reviewed it with me. They're good with it. The Seawolves are good with everything. We're ready to sign. I don't think there's be a big issue at council.
So why do you want to pull it off? I'll say, and then say committed. I'll pull it off.
Okay. And just remember, you don't need a second for that.
Yes. Yeah.